Thank you. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we've gathered here this evening, cause our hearts to be transformed, change us into the people that you would have us to be, and may the words we hear this evening challenge us to go out into the world, for we pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. I remember way back in seminary at Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary, which I might add was not my first choice. It was Emory, actually, in Atlanta, but we had a little disagreement about financial aid at the last minute that that sent me scrambling looking for a backup. And thankfully, it was when I found in this moment of distress this other little school that was right in the heart of South Carolina. And had I not found it, had this not happened, had Emory and I not had that argument, I wouldn't have met Romy. You know, and Romy, this person who actually calls me later to move up north to Jersey to look for a new home. But I'm going to tell y'all a funny little story about us. We almost never took our relationship beyond a friendly hi in passing, going up and down the steps of Beam Hall there where we lived. This was a Lutheran school. Lutherans, they go to school. They don't work. Literally. That was their job, was to be in school. So for us Methodists, we could get a job. We were expected to go to school and to work. So, being the only Methodist living on campus there, I naturally went searching for a job, and unlike the rest of the Lutherans there. So in addition to taking those 21 credit hours worth of courses, for the year, six of them didn't count because it was a prerequisite class that you had to take, so I was really on paper taking 18 hours. I also worked 10 to 20 hours a week at a church. I was learning Greek at this time. Have y'all learned Greek? I'd say it's a horrible language, but it's my father-in-law's specialty. Needless to say, I was a little busy at times there, and so much so that I hurried high when passing this foreigner on the steps. She thought I was just being arrogant. I don't know where she got that from. I mean, I know I'm an American, but... But y'all may be wondering, how in the world does this relate to not being conformed to this world, but instead to that which is good, acceptable, and pleasing to God? Well, I look at the storyline that has brought us this far, that has brought us here to Port Washington. You know, the experiences along the way that we've gathered, they've helped us tremendously in as the people that we are today. Now, back in 2011, old Sally Mae started knocking on the door after graduation, and the worst part was, together in our household, we only made about $33,000 a year between the two of us, and then we had to supply our own health insurance at that point because we didn't qualify for the Methodist one because I wasn't full-time. So that was a good little chunk, and it went up. They did it per person. Like, one person was $350, two people would have been close to $700. You toss a kid into the mix, and it went up to close to $1,200 that year when Veronica was born. And don't y'all dare tell my mama this. I went about 6 months without health insurance. Not the smartest thing I've ever done in my life. All this while being a pastor in the Methodist Church. But if our experience has taught me anything, it's that when you're so focused on one thing, and in this case it was the lack of money, the lack of resources that we had, it became much more difficult to not be conformed to this world and then worry about that one thing, money, or the lack thereof. Now, looking at houses of worship, one of the things that can detract greatly from a house of worship from being what it is that Jesus taught us to be is when we get caught up in that scarcity mindset. Psychologists have looked at it and they have seen that it basically we get like a tunnel vision. They call it tunneling. It's what we focus on. But it's not just about the financial aspect in this scarcity mindset. the thing that typically is behind this is that there's some decline somewhere else, right? It's often the fact there's less people. You have less people. When you're putting on an event, you usually have, what, less volunteers to call upon, which translates into less things to offer to the community. Less numbers for Bible studies, less numbers for Sunday school, less people singing in the choir, less everything until there's no mindset other than what used to be. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Those lovely sayings that begin with, we used to, dot, dot, dot. But there comes a time to take that mindset, and just reading through that list, it kind of depressed me a little bit there. Drained the energy from me, drained the life out of me. And it drains the energy and the life out of the body. But we have to turn the focus from what we used to be and what we used to do to what we are and to what we can and what we will do. Now, if I've ever learned something about working with negative people, and tell me if this is the case that y'all have experienced as well, is that they want everyone to feel as awful as they do. I'm not that kind of person. You know, I love Home Goods when Romy's shopping around, or TJ Maxx or Marshall's. I go to the coffee cups because, you know, they're so smart-alecky now. And I have to say, I found the perfect one. Negative people need drama like oxygen. Stay positive, take their breath away. And I was like, that's just very befitting of my kind of attitude here. And then there's that other one, I don't need your kind of negativity in my life, please leave. That was a little more blunt there. But the negative people, I have to say, it gets to the point sometimes where you just got to look them in the eyes and you have to say, no, not today. Because I'd rather be here doing the work that we've all been called to do. Because we as pastors, as leaders in the church, as the laity, we're here to equip followers of Jesus to go out into the mission field, to go out into the world. And you know, this is my own personal preference here, but I'd rather be pleasant and a happy individual while doing what I love and loving who I serve. Now this place here, this congregation, and more specifically y'all, because y'all are here outside of a Sunday morning worship. Most people think worshiping once a week is enough, right? Yeah, but y'all's here for a reason. After last week, I done pegged y'all as the group that are going to be the ones who go out into the world in the strength and in the knowledge of God to give yourselves for others as a holy and living sacrifice. Where y'all want to guess that verse comes from in the scripture? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It precedes what we heard this evening, that verse 2. Y'all are going to be the ones who first be the first ones to seek that which is pleasing to God, and then y'all aren't going to succumb to the pressures and temptations of the world. Am I right? Am I going to go out on a limb here? that y'all were, or better yet, y'all are looking for something more? What did you make? What is that? Mardi Gras beads. Veronica, go over and sit, please. Thank you, darling. Do, 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 do. Oh, that's right. I just asked y'all a question. Y'all are looking for something more, right? So what is it? What is it y'all seek? What is it y'all desire? What is it y'all want to do? Make a difference in the world. How are we going to do that? Sit on that for a second. I've seen God at work doing some pretty transformational stuff firsthand. You know, I witnessed Rotary inner wheel. Y'all know what inner wheel is? You know, like the women's version of Rotary back when it was men and women separated. The Catholic Church, four Methodist churches, an Episcopal church, the Ag Science class from the Central School, the area youth group, the quilting group that used our church, I called them the Twisted Stitchers, the Farmers Co-op, WIC, and more people from the community that had no connection to any organization, any formal organization, come out of the woodwork when we decided that we weren't happy sitting around thinking about back when. Now, the worst part was when we kicked off, we didn't have the results we were looking for, and the type of people that we were quote-unquote fishing for, so to speak. They just weren't biting that day. Now, so often when that kind of thing happens, usually that's a point of despair, right? That's when frustration kicks in, disappointment, anger, thoughts of just scrapping everything. But that's negative, right? Now, I don't need that kind of negativity in my life right now. But this, after all, was not my creation. It wasn't my idea. This came from one of the members of the church, one of the newer members. So if it just fizzled, no harm, no foul. Nah. No, it was time to take the love of God that had been poured out into each of us and to live it. And when we did, not only did we ourselves experience God's grace, but so did everyone around us. So did everyone that it affected. Now, in the planning stages of all this, of everything that we were putting together, I can't tell you the number of emails that went back and forth between this person and myself. Some days it would have been two or three, and you think a sermon's long, you should have seen these emails. But choosing to be positive, even when we didn't get the results that we wanted, caused us to realize that we had to change, that we had to adapt, that we had to see how we could do it better. We had to transform what it was we were doing. We had to literally think, and I hate this awful saying, it's so cliche, you know, that think outside the box, got to hit the ground running. That's the kind of junk bosses use when they are completely clueless. Anyways, I'm more of a tuck and roll kind of guy, but one of the best parts about all this is that it shows us that we're all created in the image of God. That all these groups were able to work together with a common mission of bettering our own community, of bettering our own society. Because each one of those groups was doing something on their own. But what was realized when we all worked together was we could do so much more than we could as many small groups. Now, all this was embodied shortly before we left the mountains when a Muslim mother raising her young teenage son, he started coming to the youth group. One of the youth group leaders was a teacher in the school, knew the family, and she talked to the mother. She wanted to be sure that she was aware that in this group we talk about Jesus a lot. Is that okay? Well, the mother's response was quite possibly the greatest thing I have ever heard. She said she wanted her son to be part of a group of people that have faith. I said, wow. So what we were doing there with the youth group, what we were doing there with all of the other functions and events that we had been putting together, it must have been showing that which is good and acceptable and perfecting. Now, I never compare and contrast churches I've served to one another because, like your kids, if you have more than one, you don't say to them that you love one more than the other, do you? It's the fact that you actually love them both, and that's what really matters. In Jolport, Washington, as much as Socastee, Salem, Roscoe, Calicoon, Hankins, Hobart, Stanford, Township, Bloomville, Drew, Lake Mayapack, and Purdy's are one of our congregations that have helped shape us into who we are today. And as much as I love each of those congregations, the love we have for y'all is just as great. Because we're here to help renew each other and to hopefully reinvigorate this place of worship, to truly celebrate the Spirit's presence among us. And we've been brought together for a reason. And I think the scripture we've been focusing on this evening is an important reminder of why indeed we are together. Because we're not supposed to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So y'all are looking for something more, right?
Yes.
So what is it? Amen?
Amen.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.